Now, let us pray. Father God, Lord, you who created the universe, you who created the world, you who created us, we come before you, Lord, to seek your protection, to seek your guidance, Lord, to seek your face. We come before you to lift up our petitions to you, to give you thanksgiving and ask for our requests. So, Lord, we come today and we ask that that you would lead us and you would guide us. Lord, we would repent of the things that we've done. We would repent of our sins and we would turn to you and be forgiven. Lord, and that you would forgive us as you have promised to do because you are faithful and good. Father, we ask that you would calm our fears and calm our worries. Lord, we ask that you would calm the fears and worries of those who are working on the front lines. Lord, for the healthcare workers and the doctors, for the lab techs. Lord, for the nurses and all those who are working to combat this pandemic, both here in Canada and across the world. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we pray that you would give them peace, you would give them comfort. Lord, for those who are sick, we pray that you would give them health. For those who are vulnerable, we pray that you would give them protection, God. And Lord, we leave all these things in your hands. God, you are so good to us. You've given us so much. And yet we know and we recognize that we are fragile. Father, now in this time we're weary. Oh God, you are our resting place. You are the resting place of all pilgrims and sojourners. And so many of us, Lord, are weary. Oh God, give us rest. Our days are heavy with obligations, and our nights disturbed by worries over them. Oh God, give us rest. We are tired of battling old temptations and besetting sins, tired by our defeats and tired from despairing over them. Oh God, give us rest. We are tired from trying to help people who resist our help. Oh God, give us and them rest. Lord, we are tired of being anxious. We are tired of being afraid. Oh God, give us rest. Lord, help us to remember your promises. Help us to remember your goodness, the times that you have brought us through. Lord, help us to remember your mighty deeds. Help us to remember that you welcome all who are weary and burdened, that you invite us to cast our cares upon you, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. For God, our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee. O God, give us rest. Amen. Well, what are you looking forward to? Obviously, we are looking forward to this pandemic being under control. We're looking forward to the social distancing to be finished so that we can be together again. But more than that, what are you looking forward to when you start to think about eternity? About what life is really about and what death will bring? This COVID-19 pandemic has brought a lot of fear and anxiety into our world, but also has driven people to prayer and has driven many to think about what might be. What might the world be like when this is over? What might become of my life? What if I catch it? What if I die? What happens after death? What is this life really about? And what happens if I lose everything that I thought it was about? These are important questions, but they're not without answers. This morning, we're going to talk about being ready for the Lord. What does it mean to be ready for the Lord as we look at the parable of the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13? Because all these questions are important. And just this week, one prominent theologian wrote an article saying that Christianity doesn't have any answers for the suffering of COVID-19 past learning how to lament. But friends, this is simply not true. The truth is, the Bible gives us many answers, whether we want to take them or not. It gives us assurance that this suffering is not out of control, but that the world is in the hands of a sovereign God who is above all and over all. The Bible tells us time and time again that God sends disaster on his people as a warning to turn from sin, to repent and turn to him. In Deuteronomy 32:39, it's written, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and make alive, I wound and heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." Suffering topples our idols and confronts us with reality. This pandemic has stripped away many of our freedoms, many of our hobbies, many of the things we look to for comfort and stability, and it's shown how little control we have over this world and over our lives. It has driven us to consider the biggest questions of life in a new and more urgent way. So what do you look forward to? If this lasts another month, another 2 months, another 6 months, if this lasts for years, does your hope and peace really come from looking ahead to the next time you can have a dinner party? Is there not more? Again, the Bible supplies the answer if we will believe it, because ultimately we look ahead to something greater. We look ahead to the second coming of Jesus. Those who know God look ahead to the second coming of Jesus, to the end of this world and to its systems, to the end of disease, to the end of death, to the end of sin and suffering. Now that is something to look forward to. And our big question this morning or this evening, whenever you're listening to this, is, are you prepared for that day? Because our focus has been so much in the world on prepping food, on prepping supplies, on prepping schoolwork and prepping activities for kids in order to make it through this time, on prepping medications and prepping all kinds of different things so we can make it through. But there's a bigger question and a better question. Have you prepared your soul? Are you ready to stand before the Lord? Like our little friend there, the Boy Scout, who's always prepared. Have you prepared? Now, I'm not making predictions about the end, nor saying that this is the end in any way. But I am saying that God is calling us all to repent and turn to him now. That through this pandemic, he is calling us all to come to him and get right with him. To be prepared, because another answer the Bible gives is that at some point it will be too late. And Jesus explains this in a parable recorded in the book of Matthew. Let's read that now. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. This is the Word of God. We're going to break down this parable. And in doing so, we're going to try not to get caught in the weeds of the minutia. We're going to try not to get caught in all kind of little things, trying to decipher all the little bits of there, because I don't think the point of this parable is in there. I think the point of the parable is in the big picture. And the big picture is this, that one day we will be called to meet Jesus, either through his coming or through our death. And we need to be prepared. So we come to this parable, we come to what's going on here in this parable, and there's this wedding. And in the Jewish world, a wedding is a much bigger deal than it is now. There were days of celebration. There was a procession through town, and there were many traditions and rituals that went along with it. And one of those was that the bridesmaids, younger women who were not yet married, they would go and they would accompany the groom as part of his procession through the streets of the town on the way to the house of the bride. So here we have these bridesmaids who are not being married, are virgins, and there are 10 of them, and they are waiting for the groom, because when the groom appears and he begins his procession to get his bride, the celebration is about to begin. This is where we are now, waiting for the groom. The church is regularly described as the bride of Christ. We await his coming to take us home to be with him forever. When he comes, the celebration is about to start. We wait for his coming with anticipation, with eager anticipation, not just because of what it means for the world, but because of what it means for us. The one who created us and gave his life for us is coming for us. The God who crafted us, the God who called us, and who has prepared a place for us at his table, a place for us at his banquet, will come for us. And when he does, what a day that will be. What a day that will be when our Jesus we will see. When we look upon his face, the one who saved us by his grace. Some of you wanted to hear me sing, this is as close as we're going to get. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when Jesus returns. When with a shout, the heavens are rent open and Jesus returns, and those of us who love him will celebrate. So here we are. There's these 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. And what's the difference? Well, 5 prepared by bringing more oil and 5 didn't. Who knows when the groom is coming? It could be short or it could be long. It could be now or it could be later. But the foolish ones didn't prepare for the long. They were only ready for the party now. They were up for the celebration now, not for the wait. They wanted the party without the preparation. They wanted the groom as long as he came on their terms. And you know what? For the first little bit during the daylight hours, they looked just like the wise virgins. The same dress, the same lamp, the same. But their hearts weren't the same. And the truth is, there are many in this world that are often found feasting with the church and in Christian company, and yet are strangers to God and the Holy Spirit. As one commentator puts it, it is possible to have a lamp that looks good, but has no oil in it. God knows who is who. He knows those that are his, those who have clothed themselves and prepared themselves, those who have made themselves ready through faith in Christ and obedience to his word. And so the night drags on. And the groom tarries. And the wise virgins, along with the foolish ones, become drowsy and fall asleep. Regardless of their preparation, regardless of our preparation and our standing with God, unless Jesus returns in our lifetime, we will all fall asleep. This is our lot in life. In the book of Hebrews, it's written, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This life will not last forever. What are you waiting for? The cry rings out. Here he is. Come and meet him. The groom has come. The virgins have been told that he was coming, but they didn't know when. But the faithful voice has told them that he was coming, and now he's here. Come and meet him. As it's Palm Sunday this Sunday, this reminds us of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna, God save us. The King of Jerusalem enters. And they welcomed him in a procession, waving palm fronds and welcoming him in as king, only a week later to see him hanging on a cross like a criminal. And so on Palm Sunday, we remember that Jesus came in as king, and here he's being announced. He is here. Come and meet him. And the virgins rise from their sleep and they trim their lamps, but the foolish ones who didn't prepare have no oil. And they ask the wise ones to help them out. And see, if this parable was simply about helping others and sharing, the way some would have you believe that is the entire point of Christianity, to just be nice, to just take care of the poor and those less fortunate, then the wise ones here would be out of line for not sharing. That wouldn't be wise at all. But see, the parable's not about that. Nor is that the ultimate point of Christianity. The point is, you cannot be saved by someone else's faith. This is about salvation, not sharing. You cannot be saved by your spouse's faith. You cannot be saved by your parents' faith. You cannot be saved by your children's faith. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven based on your pastor's faith or your friend's faith. You must enter on your own faith. Your faith must be yours, and it must be genuine. The wise virgins knew that if they shared the oil in their lamps, then all the lamps would run out, and the entire wedding would be ruined. And so they refuse and they hold fast to what is better, rather than trade the glory of the groom for the lesser glory. The foolish virgins are sent to find those who sell oil to get them for themselves, and they do. They seek out the oil, hoping it's not too late, hoping that when they return, they can join the banquet. They haven't been faithful. They know they haven't been faithful. They haven't used the time they've been given to prepare themselves. They haven't used the time they've been given, even though they've been told. They've been told the groom is coming. They've been told the Lord will come. But they haven't used the time that they've been given to prepare, to make themselves right, to get ready. Even as night fell and they knew they had no oil, they still didn't act. And now night has come and they are not ready. They rush off to get the oil, and when they do, they get the oil and they rush back, thinking that even though they have disrespected him, even though they have neglected the groom, even though they have rejected the groom and they have not loved him, that maybe it's not too late. Maybe they can still get in. Maybe, just maybe, their time hasn't run out. See, the announcement has been made. Jesus has come to save sinners. Jesus has come to die for our sins, according to the scripture. And he rose again 3 days later, according to the scripture. And he has made a way to be reconciled to God for all those who would accept by faith his gift of grace. Repent, therefore, and put your faith in him. Turn from your wicked ways and follow him, and you will be saved. He has come. Come and see him. Come and meet the Lord. For night approaches for all of us. So prepare now while there is still light. Repent and believe in him while there is still time. The foolish virgins return with the oil, looking to enter the banquet. But while they are gone, the groom arrived, and the wise virgins have gone in with him. The foolish arrive, and they bang on the door. We are here! We have the oil! Let us in! But the door is shut. Time has run out. The Lord tells them, I don't know you. Can you think of anything more terrifying? There will be a time when it's too late. There will be a time when the door will be shut and the Lord Himself will shut it. And I know this is harsh on our ears. And I know this is often softened or watered down. For in a culture when the highest virtue is inclusion, the highest virtue is fairness, the most important thing is that everybody gets a trophy, the most important thing is that everybody is included, the most important thing is that no one is left out, the stark in and out of this parable sticks in our throats and it makes us uncomfortable. I know. But in a time such as this, in a time of discomfort such as this, a time of uncertainty, of chaos such as this, we need it to not be softened. We need it not to be watered down, not to be silent, but we need truth. Though that truth may be harsh, now is not the time for half-truths and platitudes and for tickling, itching ears. Now is the time for a bold declaration of the truth of the gospel to a world that has grown deaf and is now being roused by the threat of a pandemic. God is opening the ears of the world. He is shaking them awake. Will we as the church tell them what they need to hear before night falls? And so I ask again, are you ready? Are you ready for when you will fall asleep? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? And if you believe, are you ready and eagerly awaiting the wonder and the glory of His banquet? Do you live with this thought of eternity, this thought of heaven, this thought of grand and blessed assurance for you who are faithful, who are wise, who are prepared? Are you eagerly awaiting His arrival and looking ahead and saying, whatever happens here on this earth is nothing, is light and temporary compared to the riches of glory that Jesus Christ has for me? And if you don't know Him, let me plead with you. Come to know Him now. Even today, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. Even today, you can call on His name and you will be saved. Even today, you can cry out to Jesus. Even today, you can ask forgiveness for your sins and you will be forgiven and brought into the family of God. And you will be given eternal life. Even today, turn to Him. Prepare your soul to meet Him. We all look forward to the end of this pandemic, but join us in looking forward to something much greater. I don't know when it will come, but I do know this, that we need to be ready by getting right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That we need to prepare ourselves and follow Him through obedience and faithfulness. That we need to look ahead to His coming with eager anticipation. Far from having no answers to the pandemic, the Bible is full of answers. Some of these things we know to be certain, and we hold them to be certain because of what we celebrate next week on Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So ask the questions, those big, important questions about life and death and eternity, about what's truly important. Ask those questions, but hear the answers and follow Jesus Christ. Be prepared. The Lord is coming. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your warnings. And we thank You for Your gift of grace, Your gift of hope, Your gift of salvation. Lord, if there's anyone watching this, I pray that You would touch their hearts now. Anyone who doesn't know You, that You would enter into their lives. God, that they might pray along with me. Lord, I'm sorry. I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I want to be your child. I believe that Jesus Christ died for the forgiveness of my sins, and I believe that he rose again. And I put my faith and my trust in him. And Father, let us renew that vow in our lives, that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and we are held fast by him, that we may come to him regardless of how far we are, and he is mighty to save. In Jesus' name, amen. God calls you to come to him. Let's finish with one final song.